Well, this is Shivratri 2009. I'd like to thank everyone for collecting over here. Some devotees have come from Finland. Some devotees have come all the way from Bombay and Finland to hear the glories of Lord Shiva. And Srila Prabhupada, in his books, he gives some nice answers to different questions that are often posed about Shiva. So we can hear. The question is, if we're devotees of Krishna, how should we offer respect to Lord Shiva? Obviously we should respect him. And Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya is saying that as much respect and love you show to the demigods, if you show respect and love to the demigods, then I will also bless you with love. It goes to that extent. This is a purport to Bhagavatam 4.24.30. This is Rudra Gita. Prabhupada's giving a comment on Rudra Gita. So how should Krishna Bhaktas respect Lord Shiva? Srila Prabhupada said, Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu. Lord Shambhu Shiva is the best of all devotees. All devotees of Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavan there is a Lord Shiva temple called Gopishwara. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva but Katyayani, Durga as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but he worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna, and he does not request material profit. So this is what we pray to anyone for. Whether we go to a sannyasi or a brahmin or a grandfather, a grandmother, anyone superior to us, in any way, we only pray for what we want. Usually you pray for what you want. If you're in lack of money, then you go to a wealthy person and pray for money. But devotees want Prem Seva Radha Govinda. They want the eternal service of the divine couple, Krishna's eternal service. So we may worship Lord Shiva. Following the example of Lord Chaitanya, he went into different Shiva temples. Lingaraj Shiva and Bhuvaneshwar, he went there. Ekanamra. Throughout India, he would visit in Shiv Kanchi. He visited different Shiva temples, sometimes chant and dance in ecstasy in those temples, chant Krishna Nam, Sankirtan. And he would be very pleased. Sometimes the worship was going on very nicely, and he would be very pleased by that. So Prabhupada is saying, a devotee, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, so he's saying that, yes, devotees not only respect, it's not just passive respect that we may show to Lord Shiva. Yes, we bow our head. Yes, Lord Shiva, there's a temple. We can actively go and worship Lord Shiva. As the gopis worship Lord Shiva, they actively worship Gopishwar with Agrabati and Deepam and Datrifal and flowers and Jamuna water. But the important thing was, what was their sankalpa? What was their intention? Why were they worshipping Shiva? Why were they worshipping Katyayani? They were only worshipping that they could attain the association and service of Bhagavan Sri Krishna without any obstacles, without any impediments. Because they know that Krishna wants their service and wants to be with them more than anything. So they're praying that, please arrange for us to serve Krishna without impediment. The Prabhupada said, yes, devotees can worship Lord Shiva. And we ask Lord Shiva for a blessing that he bestows upon us the favor of Krishna. Prabhupada goes on, in Bhagavad Gita 7.20 it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. kamaistaista rita jnana. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods. But a devotee never does so, for he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for Shiva. An asura, he shows great respect to Lord Shiva and worships him very enthusiastically in order to get fulfillment of his material desires. But we also, we show respect to Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. We pray to him for the blessing that he bestows his mercy upon us, that we can attain the service of Krishna. Why do so many ladies worship Lord Shiva? Prabhupada tells, 3.23.1. Today in Hindu society, unmarried girls are still taught to worship Lord Shiva with the idea that they may get husbands like him. Lord Shiva is the ideal husband, not in the sense of riches or sense gratification, but because he is the greatest of all devotees, Vaishnava Anam Yata Shambhu. He constantly meditates on Lord Ram and chants Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Sankarshan is the Dev. Shiva has a Vaishnava Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. The girls are not taught to select a husband who is very rich or very opulent for material sense gratification. Rather, if a girl is fortunate enough to get a husband as good as Lord Shiva in bhakti, then her life becomes perfect. The wife is dependent on the husband. If the husband is a Vaishnava, then naturally she shares the devotional service of the husband because she renders him service. What is the relationship between Shiva and the ghosts? 3.14.24 Bhagavatam. Rudra Shiva is the king of the ghosts. The ghostly characters worship Lord Shiva to be gradually guided toward a path of self-realization. Ghosts are bereft of a physical body because of their grievously sinful acts, such as suicide. The last resort of the ghostly characters in human society is to take shelter of suicide, either material or spiritual. Material suicide causes loss of the physical body, and spiritual suicide causes loss of the individual identity. The Mayavadi philosophers desire to lose their individuality and merge into the impersonal spiritual Brahmajyoti existence. Lord Shiva, being very kind to the ghosts, sees that although they are condemned, they get physical bodies. He places them in the wombs of women who indulge in sexual intercourse regardless of the restrictions on time and circumstance. That's very interesting that the ghost, because of his suicide or his sins, he has received a ghostly body, which is a subtle body, no gross body. But he's deeply frustrated and hankering to have the opportunity and facility to enjoy his senses through the vehicle of a gross body, which enables that fulfillment of desire. So then he, by Shiva's benediction, then the ghost is promoted to receive a gross body. Not a ghost body, a gross body. A ghost gets a gross body. But then who? Who will give birth to a ghost? So then if someone is having sex at sunset and an amavasya and they're intoxicated, then the ghost will be placed there. So then he'll take birth. He'll receive a gross body. He'll be born as a human being from that woman, but he'll be ghostly. He'll have ghostly characteristics and ghostly mentality, and generally grow up and engage in a lot of abominable, aggressive, and angry type activities. He won't be a saintly person. He'll be more of a demon or a asura type. But he'll have a gross body. And he'll get right to it, to drinking and intoxication, illicit sex, and all kinds of sense gratification. It's called Varna Sankara, unwanted children, which create havoc and hell for society. And nowadays, the society is overrun by such ghostly creatures in the name of human beings. Why does Shiva have snakes all over his body? 3:26:21 purport. To get release from the false ego, one has to worship Bhagavan Sankarshan. Bhagavan Sankarshan is also worshipped through Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of Sankarshan. The snakes covering the body of Shiva are representations of Sankarshan. Lord Shiva is always absorbed in meditating upon Anantashesh or Sankarshan. Is Lord Shiva worshipped through taking of intoxicants? Lord Shiva drank poison to the extent of swallowing an ocean. But if any common man tries to drink even a fragment of such poison, he will be killed. There are many pseudo or false or fake devotees of Lord Shiva who want to indulge in smoking ganja and similar intoxicating drugs, forgetting that by so imitating the acts of Lord Shiva, they are calling death very near. There are some devotees of Krishna who prefer to imitate the Lord in his rasa dance of love, forgetting their inability to lift Govardhan Hill. One should not try to imitate the powerful, but follow their instructions. Don't try to occupy their posts without qualification. There are so many, quote, incarnations of God without the power of the Supreme Godhead. 3:24 Bhagavad Gita. Shankar Bhagavan ki jai. The birth of Lord Shiva. Generally, Shivratri is described as the birth of Shiva. His marriage day is another day. The pastime of Shiva's birth is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:12:7-13. Although Brahma tried to curb his anger, it came out from between his eyebrows, and a child of mixed blue and red was immediately generated. After Shiva's birth, he began to cry. O destiny maker, teacher of the universe, kindly designate my name and place. The all-powerful Brahma, born from the lotus flower, pacified the boy with gentle words, accepting his request, and said, "Do not cry. I shall certainly do as you desire. O chief of the demigods, you shall be called by the name Rudra by all people because you have cried anxiously." Rudra means cry. "My dear boy, I've already selected the following places for your residence. Rudra, you can live in the heart, in the senses, the air of life, the sky, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and austerity. My dear Rudra, you have 11 other names: Manyu, Manu, Mahinash, Mahan, Shiva, Ritadvija, Ugra Reta, Bhava, Kala, Vamadev, and Dritavrata. O Rudra, you have 11 wives who are called the Rudranis, and they are all as follows: Di, Dhriti, Rasala, Uma, Niyut, Sarpi, Ila, Ambika, Iravati, Swada, and Diksha. Shiva and Parvati, as his wife is also known, have their abode in Shiva Loka, between the material and spiritual worlds." This description is of how Shiva appeared in the material world. Of course, the question is, why did Brahma get angry? Do you know? Why? The four Kumaras didn't want to have any wives. Not even one, not to speak of 11. 11 Rudranis. And he said, "Listen, boys, I want you guys to propagate and help me fill up the universe with living entities." And he said, "Listen, Dad, forget it, man. we know all of, we're not that stupid. We're Bal Brahmacharis. We're tiny guys, but we have big wisdom. We've realized that married life is not the way to go. So we're going to stay Brahmacharis. We're going to start our own Sampradaya. Snat Kumara Sampradaya, Snat Kumara Sampradaya. We're going to preach in bhakti. And so, really sorry about that. So then Brahma said, "What? What is this, you upstarts? You're not listening to me?" I became angry. And then from that anger came out this little blue and red, mixed blue and red was immediately generated. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the supreme, ultimate Godhead, to whom even Shiva must bow down. Although many people in India think that Shiva is supreme. But there are numerous accounts in Shastra to explain that Shiva becomes is subordinate and subordinates himself to Krishna. This is not a matter of opinion. Krishna himself identifies himself as a source of all material and spiritual worlds in 10.18 Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya pravavo mata sarvam pravartate. And Arjuna confirms that Krishna is indeed the Supreme. Krishna is Devesh, the God of all gods. There are countless incidents from the Puranas where Shiva is clearly seen to be Vishnu's devotee. For example, the story of Brikasura. He was a demon. He performed severe austerities to get a boon from Shiva. And he did. Shiva gave him the boon that whoever he touched with his finger, their head would crack in half. It was a very powerful astra. So then, when Brika got this power, he decided to try it out on Shiva. So Shiva was running all over the universe. He finally ended up in Vaikuntha. Hearing the words of the frightened Shiva, Vishnu devised a plan to help him. Vishnu disguised himself as a young boy and appeared before Brika and said, "Listen, you can't trust that Lord Shiva. He gave you that benediction to crack heads. But don't you know that he's always lying and joking? I'm sure he didn't tell you the truth. He was just teasing you. Why don't you touch your own head? You'll see that nothing will happen." Brika touched his own head and died. But the point of this story is Vishnu's superiority over Shiva, who could not resolve the problem on his own. After racing through the entire material cosmos to escape Brikasura, Shiva sought refuge and shelter in Vishnu, thus showing the supremacy. To counter this, Shiva devotees sometimes cite traditions in which Ram is seen as a devotee or a worshipper of Shiva, like Rameshwaram, which is one of the four char dhams of India. In the north we have Badrikashram Dham, Badrik Dham. In the west we have Dwarka Dham. In the east we have Jagannath or Sri Khetra Dham or Sri Purushottam Dham. Jagannath Puri Dham. In the south we have Rameshwaram Dham. These are char dham. But if this contention or this argument of the Shaivites is accepted, this would make the avatar of Vishnu, Ram, subservient or below Shiva, and thus support the philosophy of Shaivism. But if you more closely study the worship, Ram's worship of Shiva, it turns out to be a later tradition, not supported in Valmiki's Ramayana. Moreover, even these later traditions explain that Ram became a devotee of Shiva only out of etiquette. Ram wanted to become a greater devotee of Shiva than evil Ravana was, and then asked Shiva for permission to defeat Ravana. I've heard, this is an article by Satyaraj Das and BTG, but I've heard acharyas explain that this is the glories of the Lord, that He's controlled by the love of His devotees. And as the devotees worship Him, and always think of Him, manmana vava mad bhakto madhyaji, always think of me, become my devotee. Well, Lord Krishna is always thinking of His devotees, just like Dwarkadish Krishna is all night long chanting Radhe, Radhe, Radhe in his sleep. So he's thinking of His devotees. So Lord Shiva is Vaishnavan Yata Shambhu. So Lord Ramachandra, he accepts that and he believes that, and to show the supreme position of his devotee, he's worshipping him. It doesn't show, by Ram's worshipping Shiva at Rameshwaram, it doesn't show that he's supreme, that Shiva's supreme and Ram is inferior. Rather, it shows that the supremacy of God, that He loves His devotee so much that He'll worship him. To show that my devotee is worshipable, He sets the example. Rama's Maryada Avatar, and He's doing everything to set example for humanity. So He's saying, yes, my devotee should be worshipped. Even I am taking the opportunity to worship my devotee. And my devotees, they accept me and they worship me and I worship them. The Ramayana offers many stories about the glories of Shiva. His destruction of Daksha's sacrifice, his marriage with Parvati, his drinking the ocean of poison, his killing the demon Andaka, his cursing of Kandarpa, the god of love. But ultimately, the Ramayana makes the supremacy of Ram quite clear. Ram is an incarnation of Vishnu. He is supreme. Prabhupada makes the point very clear in 3.9.16 Bhagavatam. Of the three principal agents controlling the three modes of nature, Vishnu is the Almighty. Even though He is situated within material nature for the purpose of maintenance, He is not controlled by the laws of material nature. The other two agents, Brahma and Shiva, although almost as greatly powerful as Vishnu, are within the control of the material energy of the Supreme Lord. Shiva is superior to Brahma, who is an empowered soul, Jiva Tattva. But Shiva, being Shiva Tattva, is not quite on the same level as Vishnu. It is therefore said that Shiva is a unique living being who merits his own category known as Shiva Tattva. Rama Samhita compares Shiva and Krishna like milk and yogurt. When you add acids or a lemon juice or something to milk, then it turns into yogurt or cheese. So yogurt is neither the same as nor different from milk. So Shiva is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. Milk and yogurt are essentially non-different. Yogurt is a product of milk. One can use milk to make ghee, cheese, ice cream, or yogurt, but one cannot turn yogurt into milk. Clearly then, Shiva's divinity is intimately connected with, even dependent upon, His relationship to Vishnu. Yeah, Mohini Murti. Yeah, Bhrigu testing who's the Supreme God. Many pastimes. That's in the Bhagavad Puran. But in the Shiva Puran, there are so many pastimes that show that Shiva is supreme. You have to remember that also. A Shiva promise for tamasic and jivas, addicted to tamasic thinking and lifestyles. But the Bhagavad Puran is sattvic Puran, for those more highly developed conscious jivas with a more pure outlook and more clear understanding of Bhagavad Tattva. Sanatana Goswami says that anyone who puts Vishnu on the same level with Shiva and Brahma becomes an atheist. We should never consider Vishnu to be on equal footing with the demigods. Theologically, Shiva is both God and different from God as well. Because it was Shiva's intimate contact with the quality of ignorance and with matter, the living entities in this world cannot receive the same spiritual restoration by worshipping him as by worshipping Vishnu. Shiva himself confirms that one can achieve the supreme destination only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur eva sasamshaya. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Shiva Tattva is extremely complex. Brahma, the principle of Brahma, is not complicated because Brahma is always a jiva, a finite spirit soul. Although sometimes Krishna takes a pose. Haranya, Brahma. Sometimes when there's no qualified jiva, Lord Vishnu personally takes the pose to Brahma. But that's very rare. Lord Shiva is not like that. He is not a finite jiva soul. After passing through the eight material coverings and crossing Viraja, the river that divides the material and spiritual worlds, and crossing the highest material planet, Satyaloka, one comes to the planet of Shiva, Shivalok. There he is known as Sadashiva, a manifestation of Lord Vishnu. Worship of Lord Shiva, which means auspicious, is recommended for inauspicious persons who are in ignorance, because by worshipping Lord Shiva and receiving his blessings, they can gradually rise to the modes of passion and goodness and then eventually get liberation. Shiva has connection with the material energy. Therefore, he's called the father. And his wife is called the material energy, or Durga, is the mother. Because Shiva has connection with the illusory energy, he is not exactly God. God has nothing to do with the material energy. He is never illusion. But Shiva has connection with Durga, the material energy. Therefore, his position is between the living entity and Krishna. Sometimes the Lord himself worships his devotee, as Ramachandra worships Shiva. Thus, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself worships his devotees, such as Lord Shiva, then certainly his other devotees may too. They should not, of course, think that Shiva is equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu. Rather, they respect and worship him as a pure devotee of Vishnu, and they may accord him the same respect as they give the Lord himself. Vaishnavas generally do not go to demigods' temples, yet Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself in the role of Krishna's devotee, regularly visited the temple of Lord Shiva in Benares. Why? Srila Prabhupada explains that a Vaishnava gives due respect to everyone, what to speak of demigods, who are faithful servants of the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya offered obeisances and prayers to deities of Lord Shiva in temples throughout South India during his travels there. The devotees in those Shiva temples became Vaishnavas by the influence of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada stated that Shiva is almost Vishnu in terms of the yogurt and the milk. Gopeshwar Mahadev. This is one of the famous temples in Vrindavan. Gopeshwar Mahadev. Gopis would later they worshipped him. So Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan is one of the prominent Shiva lingas. It's told that there are different digpals, protectors of the directions of Braj Mandal, to keep the demons out of Braj. Demons means someone who has Purusha Abhiman. Purusha Abhiman means the Abhiman, or mentality or identity of being the enjoyer. If someone has that mentality, Purusha Abhiman, be he in a male body or a female body, it doesn't matter the gender, but the Abhiman can be there. Even a Prakriti or a Stri, a lady or woman, she can be totally saturated with Purusha Abhiman, the enjoying spirit, sense enjoyer, exploiter, calculator, extractor. So these type of people, they may physically put their kalevaram, or their body in Brajmandal, but they never actually enter the Leela. So entering a Leela depends on having Seva Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Braj Bhav, Seva Bhav. So that's all a matter of transformation. Transformation of ego. Ego has to be transformed from enjoyer to servant, from exploiter to dedicator, from agent of lust to an agent of love. So it's transformation of ego. So ego transformation is under the purview of Sankarshan, Bhagavan Sankarshan. He's the lord of ego, Hankar. And Shiva is a pure devotee of Sankarshan. So it's easier to get the mercy of the Lord through the devotee, through his representative or minister. So these Shiva deities, they function in different points of Braj to protect the Leelas from the unqualified. Because living in Braj means entering the Leela, not just passing stool here and eating here. And for in the five directions, Lord Shiva is very carefully guarding the holy Dham. From the Mathura side, south side of Mathura, he's protecting the holy Dham as Bhuteshwar. Bhuteshwar, all the ghostly mentalities and lower vibrations that people try to bring into Braj, then he dissipates those and destroys those and drives them out with his Trishun from Mathura. Bhuteshwar Mahadev ki. And in the north, he protects the northern petal of Brajmandal. And Nandagaon is not only taking the form of Nandishwar Parvat, but he's also residing on the top of the Parvat as Nandishwar Mahadev Shiva. Nandishwar Mahadev ki jai. So he's protecting the north so no one can get too close to Nanda Baba or too close to Sakiras or Vatsali Ras and be an offense to Nanda Baba and his relationship with Lalaji or Nandalal, Yashodalal. So Shiva destroys such mentality and such personalities from the north side. And if someone tries to enter the east side is a very special side. The east side of Braj, and Vrindavan is there on the east side, and that's where we have Jamunaji, Rasastali, Dhir Shamir, Jamunapulin, Govindastali. And this is where the most deepest pastimes are enacted in the Rasalila of Krishna. So if someone enters there, then Gopishwar is there to grant one the proper mentality of a gopi or to protect anyone that has a Purushabhimana. They'll be prohibited from going there. Male consciousness, enjoyer consciousness. On the west side of Brajmandal, bordering Rajasthan, it's actually in Rajasthan, there's Kameshwar. It's the biggest impediment to Braj Bhav is desire, ulterior motive, personal ambition, selfish desires, calm. So he's the lord of the proper desire. Shiva is the lord of the proper desire because he only desires to serve the Lord. And others who want only that desire, Eknishta, Bhagavan Eknishta, they're fixed in determination to please the Lord, then Kameshwar will purify the desire and allow the pure desire of the purified soul to manifest. Because the soul only has one desire. Purified soul only has one desire. The desire to serve Krishna. Jivera Sarupaya Krishna Nityadas. This is our Sarup Lakshana, the primary characteristics of the Jiva, is a desiring unit, a loving unit, a unit of loving desire and dedication, meant for the pleasure of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Krishna Das, 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 Anudas. So this is the four directions of Braj, Nandishwar in the north, Bhuteshwar in the south, Gopishwar in the east, Kameshwar in the west. But some clever enjoyer may try to parachute into Vrindavan, drop into Vrindavan, spaceship or parachute, helicopter, enter the center, and he will be driven away by the Chakra Ishvara. Chakra Ishvara now is called Chakaleshvara. Because if something's coming in the air, then you have to shoot a missile. If someone's coming on the ground, Trishuna is sufficient. If you're coming from the north or south, west or east. Shiva has his trishun, trishul or trishun. They just give you a poke and drive you away with the three gunas. Drive you away, cover you with ignorance, cover you with passion, cover you with goodness, and drive you and your Purushabhiman far, far from Brajmandal. And the Nitya Seva, Radha Govinda Yuga. But if you're clever, you try to parachute in, then it's trishun. But before he can get anywhere near, he'll launch his chakra. So Krishna will launch his chakra on behalf of Shiva. So he's Chakaleshwar. Because it says that this Chakaleshwar is in Manasi Ganga, on the banks of Manasi Ganga. Shiva's residing over there, doing his bhajan. Because this is where the chakra that was circulating above Govardhan Hill, there was one chakra drying up all the devastation rains and pralaya of the Samvartika clouds trying to inundate Braj during Govardhan Leela. So that chakra, when it settled down, it wanted to stay in Braj and do bhajan, Sudarshanji. So then he stayed on the banks over there in Shiva. There's bhajan there on that same bank. So Gopishwar, he's a very ancient protector of Sri Brajadam. It says that one cannot enter Vrindavan without his permission or sanction. His glories are sung throughout the Goswami literatures. This is a prayer in Bhakti Ratnakar. Shrimad Gopishwaram Vande.
Shrimad Gopishwaram Vande.
Shankaram Karunamayam. Shankaram Karunamayam. Sarva Klesha Haram Devam. Sarva Klesha Haram Devam. Brindaranya Rati Pradam. Brindaranya Rati Pradam. This means Shrimad Gopishwaram Vande. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Gopishwar. Shankar Karunamayam. He is as merciful as Lord Shiva himself. In other words, he is that same Lord Shiva who is made of Karuna, saturated with compassion. Gopishwar removes troubles, klesh, adiatmika klesh, adibhotika klesh, adidaivika klesh, sarva klesha haram. He takes away the kleshas, all the kleshas and difficulties. Sarva klesha haram devam. He is that great Dave, that great Lord, who takes away all the miseries. And what does he do? Brindaranya Rati Pradam. He gives Brindaranya Rati. He gives Rati, love, spiritual love in Vrindavan. And Brindaranya means, like Aranya, means forest of Vrindavan. So he gives Rati Pradam, Brindaranya. He gives love for the Holy Dham. And of course we sing Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Jaya Jaya Gopishwara, Vrindavanamaj. All glories to Gopishwar Shiva, who resides in the holy Dham of Vrindavan. Gopishwar is considered one of the most merciful personalities in Braj. This word is interesting, Gopishwara. Gopishwara in Sanskrit means he whose controllers are the gopis. Gopishwara. Yasyeshwara gopya shantisa. As well as the controller of the gopis. Gopinam Ishvara. The former meaning applies to both Krishna and Shiva, the latter only to Krishna. So when we say Gopishwar, when we're thinking of Lord Shiva, it means he whose controllers are the gopis. If we're saying Gopishwar referring to Krishna, I mean it also refers to Krishna. Krishna is, he's controlled by the gopis' pure love. But then only he is the controller of the gopis, not Lord Shiva. So it can apply to both. So he's one of the most merciful personalities in Braj. The deity of Gopishwar Mahadev and the other principal deities of Lord Shiva and Braj were established by Lord Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranava, 5,000 years ago. This particular deity is worshipped as a regular Shiva Linga during the day, as in other temples of Mahadev. But in the evening, the pujaris dress the deity in a sari with jewelry and ornaments, just like a Braja Gopi. The history of Gopeshwar Mahadev is as follows. Krishna is the highest form of all forms of Godhead. He has four qualities that not even Narayan possess. Among them are his very sweet pastimes, Lila Madhurya, and his circle of very special, loving devotees, Prema Madhurya. Of all such devotees, the gopis are considered the highest. And of all pastimes, Rasalila is the supermost. Lord Shiva, therefore, wanted to participate in the Maharas, where Krishna dances and plays with the gopis. Understanding that entering the Rasa dance requires a special qualification and mercy, Lord Shiva performed austerities in Braj, and thus was able to please Purnamasi, who is the personification, the spiritual energy, Yoga Maya. In Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, she is an elderly Brahmani and Shiksha Guru for the Brijvasis. Under the instructions of Purnamasi, Lord Shiva bathed in Brahmakund, some sampradayas say Mansarovara, and others say Yamuna. When he emerged from the sacred waters of Brahmakund, Lord Shiva had the beautiful form of a gopi. No one can enter the Rasa dance with Krishna unless he is a gopi. Lord Shiva, in the form of a gopi, went to the area of the Rasa dance near the Yamuna in Vrindavan. Other gopis noticed her. They approached her and asked, "What is your name? Who is your husband? What does he do? Where is your house?" They asked so many questions that he could not answer, because Purnamasi didn't tell him that. Just he said, "I want to be a gopi," so he got the form, but he didn't have any passport, no voter's ID, no ration card, no driver's license, no identification. He was a Namika. So then the gopis, they ran into this new gopi. They approached her and said, "What is your name? Who is your husband?" But he couldn't answer these questions. So they thought this so-called new gopi was not actually one of them. They became angry at the imposter and they began to slap her cheeks. You know, the other gopis. "Oh, who are you? Don't know who you are. You're some demon disguised. You came from a Mathura disguised as a gopi. You're trying to harass our Krishna. What's going on? Who are you?" So Shiva, in the form of that gopi, began to desperately call out the name of Purnamasi. "Purnamasi! Purnamasi!" Immediately Purnamasi appeared and stopped the gopis. "Don't beat her. She's actually Lord Shiva, a great devotee." Because of Purnamasi's position as their spiritual guide, the gopis listened to her. She told Shiva, Purnamasi, "Actually, you cannot participate directly in the Rasa dance. The Rasa dance with Krishna is only for gopis, but you can stay near the arena of the Rasa dance and witness it and protect the area from others who are not qualified to enter." Purnamasi also benedicted Shiva that he could bestow upon devotees the qualification to enter the Rasa dance. The deity of Gopeshwar Mahadev, established by Bhajranav 5,000 years ago, resides near Vamshivat, the famous tree near the Yamuna where Krishna played, where Krishna called the gopis with his flute for the Maharas dance. Every evening around sunset, the pujaris dress Gopeshwar Mahadev, the linga there, as a gopi, very beautifully. Lenga and chunari and nose ring and nice face and everything pretty, lipstick and everything. Beautiful lady's face. Devotees pray to Gopeshwar to grant them the pure love that will enable them to enter the sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has this beautiful prayer to Lord Shiva. Vrindavana Avani Pate Jaya Soma Soma Mole Sanandana Sanatana Naradedya Gopishvara Brajavilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayacha Nirupadi Namo Namaste. O gatekeeper of Vrindavan, O Soma, all glories to you, O you whose forehead is decorated with the moon, and was worshipped by the sages headed by Sanandana, Sanatana, Narad. O Gopishvara, desiring that you bestow upon me limitless love for the lotus feet of Sri Radha Madhav, who performed joyous pastimes in Brajadam, I offer my obeisances unto you again and again. So we mentioned in the north, someone that wants to interfere with Nanda Baba's pastimes with his Nandalal. And Lord Shiva has taken up position there as Nandishwar Mahadev. And of course, Nandishwar Parvat, the very hill upon which Nanda Baba's palace is established and Krishna had so many pastimes, is actually the body of Lord Shiva. It's a form of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva performed tapasya for several thousand years to enter Krishna's pastimes in Braj. And when the Lord appeared before Shiva, he asked him what benediction he wanted. He said, I want to get a chance to witness your Braja pastimes. Let me become a hill or a stone. So in Braj Riti Chintamani, Vishnu writes about this in 1.15. The devotees declare that Nandishwar is the form of Shiva shining as Nandamaraj's capital. One day, Shiva decided to come to Nandagram to get darshan of Nandalal. When he reached Nandababa's palace, these Sakhi attendants informed Yashoda that there was a yogi that wanted to see her son. But when Yashoda saw him, she was so afraid of his strange appearance. He had a dindin drum tied to his waist, and crematorium ashes were smeared all over his body. There were snakes around his neck. When Yashoda saw this frightful figure of Lord Shiva, she immediately slammed the door of the palace. She was afraid that if her baby Nandalal saw this terrifying form and ghastly appearance, he would start crying. Shiva left in disappointment. And he went off to the forest to meditate at Ashishwar Mahadev, right? As soon as he left, Nandalal, baby Krishna, or young child Krishna, began to cry and cry and cry. Although, despite all the efforts of Yashoda and all the elderly gopis, they could not pacify him. And one elderly gopi ventured, maybe someone's put an evil eye on Krishna. Has anyone come recently to meet your boy this morning, recently? Yashoda said, yes. There was a strange-looking yogi who came here. And the gopis fanned out in different directions looking for that yogi. They found him sitting in meditation, or Sheshwarvan. He said, listen, you come to Nandagam. As soon as the baby Krishna saw Shiva, he began to smile and he stopped crying. But Yashoda shut the door again on his face. And again Krishna began to cry. So then again she opened the door and gave darshan of Shiva to Krishna. He smiled. Shiva had a request. Mother Yashoda would keep Krishna's foot on his head. Mother Yashoda denied it because she was afraid of all the snakes and scorpions crawling around Shiva. However, the elderly gopis persisted. And finally, Lord Shiva received the divine lotus feet of Krishna on his head. At that, his happiness was boundless. Similarly, Krishna was overjoyed to see Lord Shiva, who began dancing ecstatically, playing his dindin drum. So as soon as he got the touch of Nandalal's feet, his tiny lotus feet, he became ecstatic and untied the din-din drum from his waist, started playing it furiously and dancing. Gaura, not Gaura, but Nataraj, Shiva. And Krishna was smiling and laughing to see this ecstatic dance. He's very happy to see this wonderful dance. Seeing this, Yashoda quickly requested Lord Shiva to stay in Nandagram permanently so that Krishna would always be happy. Taking advantage of the opportunity, Lord Shiva said, "I will stay here under two conditions. One is that whenever you bathe your Nandalal, you'll pour his charnamrita over my head. And secondly, you'll give me some remnants of his food. Tatastu, Bhavatu." Since then, Lord Shiva has stayed in Nandagram in the form of Nandishwar Mahadev Shiva Linga. And the charnamrita and Mahaprasad of Lord Krishna is first offered to him after Nandalal honors it or enjoys it. Nandishwar Mahadev ki jai. There is a strict rule among Vaishnavas, devotees of Vishnu, that they never eat the remnants of Lord Shiva. Because, especially in South India, because there's always this rivalry between Shaivites and Vaishnavas. And generally the worshippers of Shiva, they say that Shiva is supreme, and they decry and belittle the supremacy of Vishnu. And they oftentimes become offenders to Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. So because of this long history of misunderstanding and misconception among the Shaivites and even the Vaishnavas, this rivalry has been going on for hundreds of years, even thousands of years in South India especially. So there's some prescription or some tradition or maybe some Shastric fact that in general that Vaishnavas should not eat the food of the demigods. Especially this is very strongly emphasized in South India, never eat the food of the Shaivites, even though they may offer some vegetarian things to their Shiva deity and then offer you the prasad, Shiva prasad. But the Vaishnavas always decline, generally, because it's considered that's an offense to eat demigods prasad, because the conception of the worshipper, the bhav, and the conception of the worshipper is imbued in that offering. And this is what any Ishtadev is. What they're taking is not so much the external foodstuff, but the bhav of the worshipper. So the Vaishnava, the Krishna Bhakta, he's offering bhakti prayachati. Patram pushpam phalam doyam yome bhakti prayachati. Taram bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanah. So Krishna says, ashnami is, I eat bhakti. Twice he says it. He says four kinds of foodstuffs, but he says twice bhakti. Leaf, water, flower, fruit. These are four foodstuffs of some type. But in two times he says it must be offered with love and devotion. So that bhav is infused in the offering. And that's what Krishna is eating, and that's what Krishna is leaving, and that's what the remnants are made of. But if someone has a bhav that Vishnu is secondary and Shiva supreme, and so he's offering food with that bhav and that mood to Shiva, then that food is full of that bhav, which is, to Vaishnavas, that's considered offensive, to relegate the position of Vishnu below Shiva, because Shiva is a demigod. So therefore they don't eat. But there's at least one occasion where Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Mangal is mentioned, that, and also in Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahakavya Charitra, Mahakavya by Murari Gupta, his diary, where he also says that at least one temple, Lord Chaitanya, he took some Nirmalya, Shiva Prasad Nirmalya from Shiva temple, was offered by the Bajari, and he took it, some sweet or some fruit or something. And a devotee is traveling with Lord Chaitanya on that yatra through South India. They were a little skeptical and had some doubts in their mind about that behavior of their Lord Gauranga. So then after some time, they didn't say anything. They didn't want to check the Lord, but he could understand their mentality. Krishna knows the hearts and minds of everyone, especially his devotees. Saranam ridyam mayam, saranam ridyam tvaham. Devotees are always in my heart, I'm always in the heart of the devotees. Lord Vishnu told Durvasa Muni in relation to his great devotee Ambarish. Krishna knows the heart of his devotee, the heartbeat. So then he said, I think some of you have some problem. Some of you are disturbed over my recent activity of taking Shiv Prasad, and I'll explain why. Because I understood that this pujari, this worshipper of Shiva, he is actually a Vaishnava. He's a pujari, he's a Vaishnava, he's doing puja in that temple. But he, in terms of tattva, he understands Shiva tattva, Vishnu tattva, and Bhagavat tattva. He understands very clearly, without any confusion, the supremacy of Lord Vishnu far and above Lord Shiva. He understands that Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest devotee of Vishnu, and therefore the greatest servitor of Vishnu, and he is subordinate to the supremacy of Vishnu. And with this mentality and with this bhav, he is offering food to Lord Shiva. So, my dear Lord Shiva, you accept this food, and I know that you'll offer it to your... I'm preparing it nicely. I know that you'll offer it to your Ishtadev Sankarshan Ram, and then I will take that prasad. So because he had the right mentality, because he had the right tattva, the right action, right behavior, right heart, mentality, emotions, then I accepted, I ate it, because actually that was not Shiva prasad, that was Vishnu prasad. Because whenever a devotee is offered anything nice, he first offers it to his Ishtadev, with mantra, with prayer, with achman, with tulsi patra. And he takes the remnants. Like when we offer, when we worship Gurudev, we may cook for Gurudev and offer him a plate. And then he'll say, okay, where's the tulsi leaves? So I'll put tulsi on everything. And then in Manasi, in his Manasi Devata, or even externally, he'll offer all that bhoga to his deva. And then he'll take the Mahaprasadam. Shiva loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do Vaishnavas worship Lord Shiva? It is stated in the list of Namaparads that it is an offense to think that chanting the name of Hari and Hara or Shiva are the same. The devotees must always know that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Shiva is his subordinate, dependent devotee. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes even more respect. Lord Ram, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshiped Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? This is a conclusion. It appears that Lord Shiva blesses the Asuras simply for the sake of formality. Actually, Lord Shiva loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His potency, Durga, is described as keeping all living entities in the darkness of ignorance. Yadevi sarvabhuteshu nija rupam samstita. This Devi, Yadevi sarvabhut, all the living entities, nija rupam, she puts them in the form of sleep. Both Brahma and Shiva are incarnations of Vishnu. So Shiva is in charge of destruction, which he carries out with the help of his material energy, goddess Kali, or Durga. Thus Shiva is described as being accompanied by dangerous potencies, Shakti Goraya, and that is the actual position of Lord Shiva.